You ever ask yourself why Jesus does miracles? Why did he take the time to do miracles? Because when it comes down to it, they're actually not important when it comes to salvation. And you can tell that just by looking at the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed goes basically from Christ's birth right into the crucifixion. He was born of a Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. It doesn't say anything about the time when he was, after he was born, up to basically the end of the Gospels. So why did Jesus do miracles? Why did he spend time worrying about the hungry? Why did he worry about the sick? Why did he give sight to the blind and allow the lame to walk? Why did he raise Lazarus from the dead if Lazarus was only going to die later on anyway? Why did Jesus do miracles? We get a hint of that in this passage where we have Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus. It's 5,000 men plus women and children. As Jesus is going by boat across the lake, there's a great crowd of people that want to be near him, so they walk around the lake the long way, and they actually get there before Jesus does. And Jesus gets off the boat, and he sees this massive crowd of people, and the scriptures tell us that he felt sorry for them, that he felt pity for them. And the word that's used there is that Jesus had compassion for the crowd. He had compassion. And seeing that they were sick, the compassionate Christ did what only the compassionate Christ could do, is he began to heal them. And later on, as it got darker and as the people were still there, he knew that they were hungry. His disciples wanted to send the crowd away so that they could go find food on their own, but Jesus, again, had compassion. He saw that they were hungry, and so he saw to it that they were fed. And he miraculously multiplies 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to be enough to feed over 5,000 people. The compassion of Christ causes him to take action for human need that is before him. In other places in Matthew's gospel, Jesus again has compassion for people. He looks out at a crowd at one point and he sees nothing but lost and confused people. He says they're like sheep without a shepherd, and so he has compassion on them. At another point, he tells a parable, a story about a king who is clearly supposed to be God in the story. And before the king comes a man who has a great insurmountable debt that is owed to the king. Even if the man sold himself and his family into slavery, they would not be able to pay the debt. And Jesus talks about how the king had such compassion that he forgave the man all his debt. At another time, Jesus is out and about walking, and there's 2 blind men that come up to them. And the blind men actually ask Jesus, "Have compassion on us, have pity on us." And what does Jesus do? He has compassion, and he acts for human need, and he causes the blind to have sight. Why does Jesus do miracles? Because he's full of compassion for the jewel of his creation. He's full of compassion for his people. In the Gospel of Matthew, we see a lot about how the kingdom of heaven is coming near. John the Baptist talks about how the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus talks about how the kingdom of heaven is at hand. With miracles that Christ performs, whether it's feeding people or causing the lame to walk, the blind to see, people to know the forgiveness of the Lord. All these things are glimpses, visions of what the kingdom of heaven is truly about. It's a glimpse of the Lord's desire to go in and restore and to fix all that is broken, all that is amiss, all that is twisted, all that is dying. Imagine for a moment what heaven looks like. In the scriptures, we get a few glimpses of what heaven looks like, and usually it's described to us by what is absent in heaven. We get this in Revelation 21, where we're getting a vision of what heaven looks like, and what it's described as is having no pain, no sorrow, no tears, no hunger, nor sickness. There's not even darkness there. There's no darkness because the Lord Himself is the light provided for the new creation. None of those things are part of what heaven is. And so when Jesus is exercising compassion on this earth, He's bringing a little bit of heaven into the kingdom of earth, where things are, in fact, amiss, dying, broken, troubled. Everything in this world, including our lives, is broken. It is twisted, amiss, and dying. When we think of ourselves physically, we know we're suffering, we're breaking down. We have illness, we have cancer, we have blindness, we have death. We have to ask ourselves, did God really intend this as He designed creation? The answer should be obvious, right? It's no. God didn't intend this. When we look at ourselves spiritually, we can see there also brokenness. We can see anger, and we can see hate and selfishness. This desire and this thought that, well, I'm number one. If it doesn't suit my needs, then to hell with it. We can see lust and all these other things. We are broken. And when we look at that, can we say, well, did God intend this in His design? And again, the answer is, of course not. No. In Jesus, God gives us a glimpse of what His intentions are, what the desire of God's heart is, and how He has pledged Himself to us to make things right. We can see that no, God doesn't like blindness. He likes for people to see. No, God doesn't like hunger. He likes for people to be fed and be full. No, God doesn't like it when we can't walk. He likes people to be whole. We know God's design and intentions through Jesus, and that's why we have these miracles, this testimony, this glimpse of what the kingdom of heaven is truly all about. God gave us Jesus to fully destroy that which has broken creation. And that's most evident in the death and the resurrection of Christ. That God submits His Son to that which is representative of all that is wrong, death. But in that, we see that God has defeated it through the resurrection of Christ. The compassion that we see of Christ in the Gospels is a picture of heaven. And it's also an idea and a glimpse of what we as Christians are to be doing, right? As Christ was compassionate for the world, you too are called to be compassionate for the world. Now, we might not go out and be able to do miracles like Christ did, but we can sure help feed people. We might not be able to heal a person of their sickness, but boy, we can sure bring them chicken noodle soup when they need it. And we can go to the hospital and visit them and pray with them and give them the comfort of another human being present there with them. We might not be able to do the miracles, but by golly, we can show compassion like Jesus showed compassion. And when we do it in the name of Christ, we are giving our neighbors a vision of what the kingdom of heaven is truly like and will be. And we can invite them to be there with us when it finally comes into completion. Let us pray. Gracious and most holy Father, we thank you for your compassionate Christ, who showed us compassion while he was on earth and how we are to live, and showed us compassion too by forgiving us of our sins, defeating death on the cross. Help us, O Lord, as a people and children of the kingdom, to live with the same compassion that Christ had for us. Help us to be faithful representatives of Jesus Christ on this earth, that others might see the good works of Christ in us and glorify our Father in heaven. We pray this in your name. Amen.